You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the Noughties pop music podcast with myself, Joel Babington, and David Lim, the sixth Saturday, the seventh Saturday. He's practically a Sunday, but he's a Friday night at GAY Late kind of boy, David Lim. Hello, David.
Your intros for me never cease to amaze me, and that one was probably the most elaborate I think you've done.
Thank you. Well, let's say maybe I've had time on my hands, but anyway, I'm not going to ask you how you are yet because we've had some lovely five-star reviews. Do you want to take it away and read one of our lovely five-star reviews for us?
Look, listen, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to checking out our podcast and sharing it with your friends and your fellow pop-loving mates. Obviously, you know that we're just a little podcast doing our own things. Joel's literally recording in his closet. Like, it's just the two of us. So we really appreciate when you guys leave a five-star review on iTunes and leave lovely comments, because that kind of shit apparently helps get us somewhere. I don't know where, but it helps. Okay. So I just want to read one of the lovely comments that was left on iTunes, which obviously you guys can all do that as well. This one is by Door1987. And this person said, absolutely adore this podcast and the 90s/noughties memories they bring. Also, the way they break down the artist's back catalogue and provide snippets of insight I've never heard before really keeps this fresh. Keep doing what you're doing, boys, with 4 party emoji faces.
Thank you so much for that. And if you're enjoying what we do, please do leave us a 5-star review. And who knows, we might read it out at the beginning of the show. So, David, like you said, I am literally in my closet. Noughties pop music is the only thing I'll go back into the closet for. Who would have thought those two things would go hand in hand? Very thankful that we have this fun little podcast to focus on. So, without further ado, shall we get on with it? So, who are we covering today? Frankie, Molly, Una, Vanessa, Rochelle, what you doing Saturday, girl? That's right, we are covering the Saturdays. Now, the Saturdays really were the girl band of the 2000s, you know, but today we're going to be covering them from their formation to the end of 2010. But they really did sort of carry that torch from the end of the noughties to the mid-10s, really. And who knows, if everyone likes this episode, we might break our own rules and give a part two to it and cover the 2010s for the first time.
The music of the Saturdays have never ceased to put a smile on my face. I, as you know, I love a good playlist, and I've got my own ultimate The Saturdays playlist, which is like literally wall-to-wall bops, album tracks, singles, remixes, B-sides. Like, if you're just doing pre-drinks at home, that's always like the playlist to go to. So in honor of the Saturdays, we just want to say thank you for your contribution to music, your contribution to pop. Maybe at that time, we didn't appreciate it as hard as we should have. But here we are in 2020. We're ready to look back and we're ready to celebrate these queens.
Exactly. Exactly. I was going to say to you, David, it does feel like just enough time has passed for us to all of a sudden, self-included, it seems like we are really appreciating these girls and the music they put out there. Yeah, we loved it at the time. We were so happy to dance along to it at the clubs. But it just feels like they're having a great resurrection within the Twitter gaze, within the social media community. And there have been rumours coming and going of a reunion. Apparently it's not happening, but they've made us thirsty for it. And I'm so happy to have this, I'm not going to say newfound appreciation, but a reminder of the appreciation for the Saturdays. And hopefully, you know, if you've not already been reminded of that, this is the reminder that you need.
And I think maybe for some people that are listening, because apparently we have people listening from all corners of the world, I've seen a few clicks from Brazil. That's all I'm saying in our stats.
Hey, Brazil.
Hey, Prague or wherever else. You know, maybe the Saturdays isn't something that is very interconnected with your noughties experience. So maybe this episode is going to be your way in with the Saturdays. And honestly, between their debut in 2008 and their greatest hits in 2014, like in that 6-year period, they sold over 8 million records in the UK and Ireland, which is not bad for 6 years' work.
Not bad at all.
I mean, I've been living in the UK for 6 years and I have not sold one copy.
And especially, you know, this was in a time where we're at the beginning, or not maybe not the beginning, but music's been hit hard more than ever from their beginning, from their get-go. So 8 million is an incredible feat.
I mean, that's really true, because in this time, that kind of late noughties, and we talked about this a little bit in our Pussycat Dolls episode, the industry was going through a lot of change. You know, we had downloading to counter with, and iTunes was just sort of getting on their feet. So really, hats off to the girls. They worked hard for 6 solid years, and, you know, probably more so after that, because each of them have amazing individual careers and paths right now. But 8 million records in that time, 3 UK top 10 studio albums. It's 4 if you count the greatest hits.
I do.
16 UK top 20 hits. 13 of those were top 10 singles. They even have a number one hit in there. They embarked on 4 headline tours and even had a reality docuseries. So that is amazing amount of work.
And I just want to say as well, I think what people forget is the girls, when they were out for a large part of their career, they were kind of the only big girl band we had. So they really were doing the legwork. While Girls Aloud and the Sugar Babes were kind of quieting down, the Saturdays were out there, they were gigging. If you wanted to go and see a band, they were the most likely ones that you were going to be able to see it on tour, at GAY, at events, you know, summer festivals. They really were the only big girl band for a long time that you could go out and enjoy a live show from. And they did kind of carry the torch from between the Sugar Babes and Girls Aloud to Little Mix, really. They kind of bridged that gap.
It's true, yeah. So salute our girl band of the noughties, the Saturdays. And we're so excited to get into this, what we hope maybe will be a first of one or two parts. So yeah, if you guys enjoy it, maybe we'll do a second part.
Yeah.
But for now, this is the origins of the Saturdays, as we like to think of it.
And, you know, hopefully this will get us 8 million downloads. So we'll tie with the girls there. So, David, shall we take it right back to the formation of the Saturdays? Polydor was auditioning girls to form a band that would already directly have a record deal with Fascination Records, which is a part of Polydor. And with that, they formed The Saturdays. And for a long time, we didn't know who The Saturdays were. We just knew the name and this image outline of The Saturdays. Do you remember that being teased online?
Like a silhouette of the 5 girls, right?
Exactly, a silhouette of the 5 girls.
And I vaguely remember this, because this was like in the sort of years that I was blogging a little bit, or I was trying to have a pop music blog. So I used to be on Pop Justice all the time. And that was really like my journey with The Saturdays. It started right at Pop Justice. Like, I don't even think I was in the forums necessarily, but I was just reading stuff on there. And we were hyped because it was a new girl group.
And it was a very, like, Pop Justice baity band, I would say, in a great way. So there was a lot of mystery around it. And it was literally just this silhouette and the name The Saturdays. And then they were going to launch at GAY for their first ever gig.
Talk about giving the gays everything they want.
Literally spoon feeding it to their audience. I believe in April 2008. If memory serves me correctly, there was teasers around who was in the band, including 2 members that had previously been in another band.
I think there was a great deal of trust, at least, from the online pop music community, because this was done via Fascination, a sub-label of Polydor, as you said. They already look after Girls Aloud. That very year, they put out Sophie Ellis-Bextor's 3rd album, Trip to Light Fantastic, which is like one of her best, and they look after Alpha Beat. So we feel like these guys know their shit, and they're going to give us something good. Like, there was a lot of excitement. At least I was in Australia at the time. So all I had was just based on, I don't even know if Twitter was invented at that time, but all I knew was just reading stuff on the blogs that people were excited about this new girl group.
And so the GAY gig happens. From that, we find out it's 5 girls, 2 of which were previously in S Club Juniors / S Club 8 / I Dream. And if you've not listened to that, listen to our first ever episode where we cover those 3 acts that are kind of one act.
Frank, it used to be in S Club Juniors, am I right?
We did.
Oh, no. Well, now, and you made your TV debut on GMTV.
We did,
didn't
actually. Oh, it's really cool coming back.
Is it really?
Yeah. No,
do I look a little bit younger?
I was
kind of questioning if you had something done.
Yeah. What about you guys?
We also had Una Healy, who was a backing singer for a Eurovision act. And Molly King had auditioned at least once on The X Factor, but I believe she'd auditioned as a solo act and as part of another girl band.
No way, really?
Really. And then I'm not sure what Vanessa had done, but she was like a Sylvia Young darling and, of course, voice of a angel. Well, like, you know, a pop goddess angel. And that formed the Saturdays. And just as what you were saying, we normally cover something earlier. Where I've been thinking about this, and this is just over 10 plus years ago, it's kind of freaked me out in a weird way because I'm living a lot of memories that I remember as recent memories. And I've been talking to my friends about stuff that we'll get to. And I'm just thinking to myself, where has this time gone?
It's freaky. I mean, I think about me having lived in the UK for 6 years now. And I'm like, that is more than halfway through a decade. Like, that is weird. Where did all the years go? The more we talk about this now between us, the more I'm like feeling really more hyped and even more appreciative of that era that the girls came up in. So I cannot wait to get into this.
So before we get into their debut single, the girls had launched at GAY and then they were offered a spot to support their label mates, Girls Aloud, on their big headlining tour. And I don't know about you, David, but I remember the rumour on everyone's lips at the time being that Girls Aloud are going to break up after this tour and the Saturdays have been put together to take over and to sort of be the main girl band, or for that label at least. Thankfully, in terms of Girls Aloud, they had another album and that didn't happen. I don't know if there's any truth behind that rumour, but I remember that being the word on everyone's lips.
I mean, who knows? Because that was the Tangled Up tour and that album was so huge with Call the Shots and everything like that. So maybe conversations had started at that point and, you know, kind of then next thing you know, they had the promise and they were like, well, I guess we're doing a whole new album. Who knows?
Yeah, they were probably on tour and saw the Saturdays and then Kimberly probably went up to the other girls and went, do you know what, girls? I've really enjoyed this tour with you all and I'm not ready to let those little girls, you know, take the spotlight. Not yet. Let's do another album. Nadine, you in? Oh, I'm in. Sarah, you in? Yeah, all right. Let's go for it. Cheryl, what about you?
Why is Sarah Harding Mel B?
I've not got that much range. Cheryl, shall we go for it? Oh, do you know what? I didn't fancy it. But as it's you, Kimberly, I'll do anything for you. And then, do you know what, Nicola? You're about to sound quite similar to Cheryl, but are you up for it? I mean, I can't do any of them, but all right, then. Us three girls will have a fun time and the other two will be there too. All right, one more album. Let's go for it. And then I'll take over the West End. All right. So that's probably what happened. Let's say that's canon.
Joel, you shared a really funny and very candid backstage YouTube video of the girls getting ready for their GAY debut.
Yes, I did.
Was that Astoria?
So I was trying to remember this myself, but I don't... Maybe it was still at Astoria.
I've looked at Heaven backstage and it does not look that good. So it must be maybe Astoria.
Someone let us know if that was still at Astoria or if it was at Heaven yet.
Or somewhere else. I mean, if you were at that gig, the unveiling of the Saturdays, please let us know. Like, we want to hear stories of the hype. Like, were you guys on a guest list? Like, how did... You know, we want to know everything about that debut performance because the backstage stuff was so cute, wasn't it? Like, they were nervous, but also, like, everyone was just talking over each other, just so excited.
Yeah, and I was surprised that it was in still such good quality. It was in better quality than the rest of their music videos they have online.
Someone had a really good, like, not Nokia or Motorola, but, you know, back in the days where we used to actually film on cameras, like little digital cameras. Do you remember that? Going to concerts and...
Oh, yeah. And we must say, the girls are digitizing their singles at the moment. They're kind of doing digital re-releases. And I just wish they were kind of doing the same with their music videos online, because they're all kind of hovering around 360p, 480p if you're lucky.
It's always so sad when you go and click on a music video on an official channel and it just looks like it was filmed on a Motorola Razr. Like, it just... You just want to reach out and just say, hey... There are people out there that can help you remaster your videos, hun. Like, there is literally no excuse. It's 2020. Like, you should get on this.
Is there any more about the launching or the beginning of Girls of Saturdays that you want to talk about?
The spirit of Kimberly came over
you. Yeah. When are you doing the Girls Aloud episode? So they are supporting Girls Aloud on tour and they release their debut single, If This Is Love. Now, if you're not a savvy gay in the know or a savvy super pop fan that's busting up the forums and everything, this is probably the first time you're seeing the Saturdays. And it seems like it is very treated as an unveiling. You're seeing each girl in their own way while they're getting ready and then, you know, shown into a window space display kind of thing. So it is very much they're treating it as an introduction. So what was your first memories of This Is Love, David? If This Is Love.
I wouldn't say love, it's a very strong word. I think it was If This Is Like for me when I first read about it on Pop Justice. I have no recollection of watching this music video that you were just talking about. I hit play on it literally just a few hours ago and it seemed like brand new information to me, but also like from the concept of them performing on a high street shop window front. That tells you everything you need to know about the Saturdays, doesn't it? They are a girl for your high street girls. They're relatable. And, you know, like them coming off the windowsill and then going backstage and signing autographs for young girls. Like, it just all seemed like a trailer for what a record company produced new girl band would look like.
Yeah, I think if Topshop was a girl band, they'd be the Saturdays.
Do you think that was filmed in Soho? It looks very much like Oxford Street, Soho.
Yeah, like Liberty.
Yeah, around Liberty.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'll be honest with you, I've always found this quite a disappointing debut single.
Ooh, okay.
I think it has a amazing visuals. The girls obviously look gorgeous. But I kind of see this song as more of a soft launch. And I don't think that was the intention, but the song sounds like a soft launch to me. They were everywhere, but it wasn't a Sound of the Underground. It wasn't a Baby One More Time, you know?
Mm-mm, no, because I actually think this single gets a little bit forgotten, especially when we talk about the next one.
Yeah, I think they treat it as a forgotten single as well.
Also, I have to say, Joel, you're going to laugh because you love this. I did not know it was a sample of Yazoo's song. Until maybe about 2 years ago. Maybe about 2 years ago, I found out. Isn't it funny to think that Alison Moyet has a songwriting credit on a Saturday single? Like, that is just almost as wild as David Bowie having a credit on a Samantha Mumba single.
No, I tell you what, David, I do understand. The reason why I knew it was a sample first is because the sample is used on another modern pop song, which I think is, believe it or not, a superior song. It is used extremely well on Heidi Montag's Body Language, which is an absolute dirty pop club banger. So whenever the Saturdays would sort of play in dance class or at the club, I would always get excited because I loved Heidi Montag's song. So for the first few seconds, I'd be like, oh, no, no one's playing Heidi. And then obviously they weren't. So this song peaked at number 8 in the UK, which I wonder if the label, believe it or not, number 8 is amazing. But I wonder if the amount of effort that had gone into this band, I wonder if the label were kind of nervous or worried or upset about that. I mean, we're in a different time, but look at what happened to Girl Thing. They went in at number 8 and that was considered a flop. So it peaked at number 8 on the UK singles, 3 in Scotland and 33 on the European Hot 100. But now we're about to get into their second single, Up. And this is where, you know, they are, as we often kind of say, they arrived with if This Is Love, but they gave the gays everything they want with Up. And they gave, you know, preteen girls, gay men, your pop audience,
your Topshop shoppers.
Your Topshop shoppers. This is the perfect song for shopping in Topshop. I love going into a shop and they've got an absolute banger on, you know. I'm ready for the lift.
This was the moment that I think we all sat up and went, holy shit, The girls have arrived, yeah.
If Dula Peep's saving pop now, the Saturdays saved pop in 2008 with this song. Shall we talk about the music video? It's so simple, but it's so iconic. And in several ways you watch it, it's kind of the original TikTok video.
One thing we haven't talked about yet is the colour blocking for each girl. Like, what did you think about that? Did you identify that as a signature straight off?
Straight away. I'll be honest, David. I off the back of that, I started to wear tights underneath shorts. I had these purple tights and I used to wear them underneath shorts and I thought I was a Saturday.
Joel.
I was 17, 18, bleach blonde.
I was going to say, this is blonde era Joel Babington,
This is. And I can one up it, David. So this song came out, absolutely loved it. And you know, I've told you before about my very few limited club bookings as a teenager when I hosted the Chinese New Year and did a few other club bookings.
I loved it.
Which I didn't seek out. I was asked to do it. And my beautiful sister Kylie and my dear, one of my best friends, Amy Lawrence, were my two backing dancers. The three of us, sorry, sometimes I sung some songs, but then the three of us did a dance to Up by the Saturdays as part of our set, if you will. And maybe from doing that is where I thought, right, well, we're doing this. I'm going to wear the tights under shorts. And then maybe off the back of that, I just started wearing them all the time anyway.
I just want to really know. And I feel like maybe those of us that are trying to visualize you in colored tights and shorts want to do the same. What shoes were you wearing with them?
Just simple pumps, like simple Converse pumps.
Not heels.
No, the short ones.
At that time,
simple pumps.
It would have been Converse, yeah.
Yeah, it was very like Disney Channel Camp Rock meets the Saturdays.
Yes, I feel you.
That was, you know, the vision board.
I feel like I almost wore the same things, except I never progressed to coloured tights, but yeah.
And a headband as well. I was obsessed with. I had this blue sequin headband that I was obsessed with. I had this lovely long flowing blonde hair, would put my headband over it. I thought I was the fucking shit, mate.
The 80s was having a revival at that time, so of course you were trying to get your Jane Fonda on.
Yeah, bless my, like, you know, and I look at it so fondly now. You know, it happened and then you go through years of cringing and now I'm just like, I just think it's sweet and I want to give them a hug, you know?
You just embrace it. We're going to make a TikTok music video for that. Joel.
No, you will. David's the new king of TikTok, everyone.
I just joined yesterday. I'm still learning, but my top project is to make a music video for blonde Joel Babington.
I need like a blonde Joel filter that automatically gives you the hair.
The sweep.
And then I just want to give you context. So when it was the first one was at a gay club, but then the same person asked to do it at a few other places and they were not gay clubs. And... it was questionable reaction at best.
Please tell me what the demographic was.
Not people that wanted to watch a young little blonde boy and two girls dance to the Saturdays. I mean, they would have been happy to watch the girls, but they didn't care about me giving it large in the middle. But such fond memories now, you know. Really, really, such silly little things, but really fun. And yeah, I need to remind myself of that. I thought I was the bloody shit and I need to refine that again. So
you are the bloody shit, you know,
as
RuPaul says, tap into that, channel the energy.
What would you say to that 17-year-old little blonde Twinkie boy? And also before we leave Up, there is another point where past meets current, and you know, researching a lot of these Saturday songs, we have several quotes from your good friend Nick Levine.
Oh Lord!
So Nick Levine was at Digital Spy at the time. I'm not doing an accent. I'm just reading it. This quivering electro-pop track sounds like a smash, boasting a memorable chorus, sharp modern production, and the best use of sirens in a pop song since Mystique Scandalous.
Mystique Scandalous, Digital Spy, like that takes me all the way back.
Okay, I'm just going to have a big loud sip of this. I've got it in a bottle so I don't spill it in my wardrobe.
What's that? What are you
drinking? Diet Cherry, well, Cherry Coke Zero with amaretto and vodka.
This is the most ghetto thing I've ever seen you do. Like, mix booze and pour it back into a Coke bottle.
This is what, see, this is what I tell people. That's what Essex is like. It's not the fabulous that you see on TOWIE. That's what growing up in Romford's like.
This whole project with the Saturdays, so far we've had two singles. They are done by really amazing people. And it's only going to get up and up from here, literally. Exactly, with the level of people they work with. So this song, Up, was produced by Quizen La Rossi, who did Jerry's Ride It, but also Steps, Here and Now.
Wow. They're two beloved acts to me, but this is definitely the best song out of those three.
So Up debuted at number 5 on the UK charts, selling over 26,500 copies in the first week. It spent 36 weeks on the UK singles chart, making it their longest charting single. And Joel, I have to say, this is something I discovered quite recently because I didn't purchase the CD single or whatever for Up. But there is a cover of the Nolans' hit Crashing Down on this. I don't know anything about the Nolans other than Loose Women. So I was like, this is a bop. How do I get into this?
I watched a clip of the Nolans reunion tour singing this song, and I'm like, fucking hell, this is a banger for the Nolans.
Yeah, but the Saturdays did such a good job reinventing it for them. Like, it sounds like a Saturdays single, which literally sounds like something you would hear at Push the Button. Lost without all your love.
I look forward to hearing it Push the Button once all this is over. Off the back of their first two ever singles, we get Chasing Lights, the Saturdays' debut album. And I'm just going to say off the bat, David, this is a really good debut album, I think. It's much better than Memory Serves Me. And yeah, it's kind of not eclectic, but there's some stuff on there that you wouldn't expect on a Saturdays album. But for this kind of pop album of 2008, a debut girl band, we all know that acts, when they're starting out in the pop world, they don't always get like A-list material to fill their albums with. I thought it was a really strong debut album.
I think for our podcast and the kind of acts that we cover in these times, like, we're very familiar and very used to debut albums being patchy and them trying lots of different styles and genres. But I actually think this is a very consistent body of work. And, you know, my ears from 2008 to now, 2020, I'm actually quite shocked by what I like now versus what I liked back then.
Mm. So, David, what were your favourite tracks on the album?
I really liked Lies, and I obviously really liked Chasing Lights. I think most fans will tell you that that's a standout album track. But now I'm completely in love with Fall.
Really?
I'm obsessed with Fall right now. Like, I just added it to my Saturdays playlist like I'm hearing it for the first time. I'm all about it. So fall out of my head, out of my heart, and when you hit the ground, you'll be sorry that I'm not around. I will watch you while you fall out of your mind, out of your fantasy. When you hit the wall, think of me. I'll be on the top just watching you fall. I'm going for the ballads. It's weird because maybe it's like it hasn't aged as much as the more electro-pop stuff on this album.
I think this album is really good, but Fall is actually the one I've pointed out as that it sounds like a singer's demo. You know, when people are on MySpace, sing a song, it's so singer-songwriter demo to me, and they've got one song on their MySpace, and this is what it sounds like.
If you've got that one song on your MySpace, then you're doing really well, hun, and I hope you get a record deal.
I kind of really liked that about it, though. It was quite endearing. But yeah, I thought Lies was really good, and I thought Keep Her was a really good standout track on the album as well. It was kind of more British R&B leaning. You could hear tones of that in them, which I think any kind of girl band, any pop girl band needs to sandwich or be in the mist, in the mix of the debut album?
I think my timeline might be slightly off now, but I feel like R&B in the kind of 2008-2009 part was not very, very R&B. I feel like we were heading towards the more Tayo Cruz years where it was...
Yeah, pop dance.
Yeah, pop dance mixed with R&B vocals and R&B inflections. So maybe, yeah, it was a little bit more reflection of what R&B flavours was at that time.
Never hurt me and you won't leave me now. Boy, you got me wrong. Cause you are not that strong. Shut up and read my lips. Cause boy, you make me sick. And I know what you do. I've had enough. I can't keep you. Just keep you. Yeah.
So it was reported that they were kind of given or offered songs that Girls Aloud didn't want. And we don't know which of those they are, if any of them are. They kind of spoke about how they weren't happy about that at the time. I would be thrilled to be offered Girls Aloud rejects.
Are you crazy? Like, any Xenomania magic would have been amazing. But I guess the Saturdays are a very different girl group to this, to Girls Aloud in a sense, because I think Girls Aloud really quite relished and embraced the quirky songs and lyrics that they were given. Whereas I think the Saturdays just want it to be instant radio hits and they just want to be super mainstream. So, you know, probably some of the Girls Aloud rejects they were offered were sounding completely bonkers to them and they didn't want to record it anyway. So, You know, each to their own, and there's room for both girl groups as we've discovered.
So this album did really well. Debut album for the Saturdays, peaked at number 9 in the UK. We see a lot of our pop faves that we consider really successful don't peak in the top 10 with their debut album. So shout out to that.
Interestingly, this album debuted and peaked at number 11 in the UK first. It wasn't until it was reissued the following year that it entered the top 10. So I can only imagine the record companies freaking out that this just missed the top 10.
Yeah, and I think we'll see. It's like, great thing about the Saturdays is it's like a slow incline up. As fans and pop music audiences, it's great to just see that constant improvement and tweaking and just maturing like a fine wine. So, as you say, number 11 and 9 in the UK. In Ireland, 34. It seems like they're not getting quite behind Una and the Girls just yet. They're kind of a slow trail at 34 in Ireland. And number 46 on the European Top 100 albums. Now, I don't know how that these European charts work, but it's really interesting because we're not seeing any other chart stats unless they're missing from around Europe. So hats off to them.
Also worth noting, this album made number 4 on Pop Justice's 2008 year-end best albums list.
Amazing.
What an honour.
What, I wonder what the rest of the top 10 was.
Jessie J.
So it did go double, well, between this and the re-release, double platinum in the UK, 800,000 units. That is incredible. We're in a download time now. I'll be honest, I didn't buy this album. That is fantastic.
Solid work. And they stuck with it and they pushed it and they kept working this album. So we're going to see.
They've given us a soft up-tempo and an up-tempo single. It only makes sense to follow it up with a January ballad release. And with that comes Issues.
Me and my heart, we got issues.
Now, David, what do you think of this track?
Okay, I'll be honest. This whole time, like before today, I thought Issues was the fourth single. This completely passed me by in Australia,
right.
I have to say.
Okay, I do have to forgive you sometimes. You are on the other side of the world.
But I'll tell you something, because my entry with the Saturdays was also around the time I started volunteering at the gay and lesbian radio station, Joy, in Melbourne.
Shout out to Joy.
Shout out to Joy. We love them. The Saturdays Up and Work, those two singles were like practically A-list on daytime radio there for years. So Issues kind of passed me by, and maybe they playlisted like a remix, like a Papa's O'Clock remix of Issues, but I almost never saw it anywhere. And it wasn't until I moved to the UK that I realised there was such affection for this song.
David, I love this song.
Oh.
I love this ballad. And that is a tough feat. For me to love a ballad, I enjoy it. I do not skip this ballad. I sing along to it at the top of my voice. And that makes me love it even more because it's so rare for me to enjoy a ballad so much. And I think because it's so catchy, but not in a nursery rhyme way. You know, catchy can grate on you sometimes, but it's not that. And I love it.
It feels gentle and it doesn't try too hard. I think I'm getting what you're saying.
And I think the power is in that because it is really powerful, but in that kind of natural, gentle way. Now, I just have to say, Rochelle was a patron of the college I went to. So her and Frankie both went there when they were kids, and Rochelle was a patron of the college, and Rochelle came in for a Q&A once, and she ended up singing Issues a cappella for us, and it was beautiful. And then we all had to dance for her, and that was absolutely mortifying. But that is a fun little...
Did you do up?
No, we had to... It was so cringy, because she came in for a Q&A like during jazz class. We all just ended up doing some cringy kind of like walk forward, walk back. Like the Q&A was fab and she was fab, but that was mortifying. And especially because we weren't prepared. So you're just sort of wearing like your black vest and your like jazz pants. You've not got like a cool outfit on Anyway, that's my one of two Rochelle Hume stories. So that was her coming into college. And then I'll just say it now. Cut 2 years later, I was at Capital Summertime Ball 1 year in the guest list area, just so loving life, really drunk on all the free booze. Your girl Ariana Grande's on. So I'm screaming, yes, queen. Like, I'm just really drunk, having a great time. Rochelle's in front of me with her adorable daughter, like a few rows in front, and the daughter just turns around and gives me so much shade to literally, he's like, you're a grown man, stop acting like an idiot. Bearing in mind, she's like three on Rochelle's shoulders. And I'm like, oh, just shaded by Rochelle's daughter and one of the best moments of my life.
Iconic. Oh my God. Pure shade. I love it.
So we've seen like Topshop Summer Collection. Now we've got like Topshop Winter Collection, very like Littlewoods catalogue for the music video. Wintry coats, scarves, looking along wistfully. It's the music video version of, you know, there's that stereotypical like catalogue model shot of the person sat at home holding a coffee cup, trying to look so warm and gentle, holding it with both hands.
Oh, like, and just wistfully walking in the rain with an umbrella toiling behind them.
Yeah, it's the music video version of that like gorgeous catalogue. They should have had like a Saturday's range for every song, or paired with someone.
You know how like Kimberly Walsh has this like raincoat,
yes,
range now that she's endorsing? They should have done that with like M&S or something.
With every song. And I can't remember if it's you or Alex that went to me with the Kimberly Walsh one. I'm gonna have to get you one of those bloody coats now, aren't I?
Well, it certainly wasn't me. I think it was your boyfriend. But I did send you the ad. The first time it ran, I sent you the ad.
You sent it to me. I showed it to Alex and he went, I'm going to have to get you one of those bloody coats. Still haven't got one.
To be fair, those coats look like quite good value. So
they look like good quality coats.
Yeah, you know, you'd always trust Kimberly Walsh to sell you the good shit, though.
Oh, God, yeah. From our Kim. Right.
Shall I read the chart positions?
Oh, God, yeah. Sorry, I keep forgetting we've got a new chart for every single song.
So for Issues, the song was so popular when the album came out that it started charting individually on its own at number 84 at that point. And then once the single came out, it reached number 4, which was their highest chart position at that time.
Shout out to a good January release there.
We do love a good January release. Get them when the sales are a little bit lower. Issues ended up spending 20 weeks on the charts, so that's a really decent amount of time. It made number 4 in Scotland, number 14 in Ireland, and number 21 on the European Hot 100.
I wonder if this was always planned as the third single, because it charted when the album came out. So I wonder if that made the label go, oh, maybe we should push this as a single.
Well, apparently the girls wanted this as the second single, and then the label decided against that. But I mean, you can't put this out before Up. You need
Up. No, that is, there was a label gay that knew what they were talking about. or a label straight person that knew that they needed to send a hit to the gays to make it a success. And thank God they did. So for their fourth single, the Saturdays release, Just Can't Get Enough, which isn't featured on the original track listing of the album, and a big fun 80s pop cover.
This was the official Comic Relief single of 2009. And I have to say, Joel, I thought this was a little too much at the time. Like, I couldn't take it. It was just too, they were giving me too much. And I had to turn the volume down a little on this single, I have to say.
So they bet you did have enough. For a new band, they get offered a coveted charity single. And that is a surefire way to having a chart hit for a pop act. So that is a really great offer to get at the time. We've seen our queen Rachel do a charity single. Girls Aloud and the Sugar Babes do a single together for charity. So I was actually at the TV recording of their first ever performance of this song.
Oh!
So
was it...
They
tell us.
I'll tell you. So in the build-up to Comic Relief, there was a TV show called Let's Dance for Comic Relief, where celebrities would perform dances, but themed dances, so you'd have someone doing a Grease number. I think it was my girl Nikki Chapman did Grease. One of my friends had something to do with it, so she invited me along. Great. As part of that, the Saturdays did their first ever televised performance of this single. And I rewatched it. It's a shame it's not in HD, because I was in the crowd right at the front. And it's another shame that all these pictures are missing. I got a picture with Vanessa that night, and she was so gorgeous. You know, we can tell she's gorgeous, but you know when you meet people in real life, and they are just... I was blown away by her beauty.
The costumes for this performance, obviously it's based on a music video where all the girls are in some sort of 1950s pin-up character.
Were they? They were kind of doing like Village People meets pin-up with the like costumes, you know?
It was a female version of the Village People for 2009, yeah.
The music video kind of probably felt a little bit rushed, considering we've seen really good aesthetics so far.
It's really funny because I think this is, at this point, the Saturdays' best music video yet. Maybe I just love the styling and it was fun. It was flirty and a little bit of a throwback. And it wasn't just them in like black with colored leggings or whatever. It felt a little bit more exciting, like they were expanding their style palette. So for me, I love this video. Even if I can't stand the song, I think they look amazing in this video. So Just Can't Get Enough made number two in the UK. It was held off from number one by Flo Rida. Right Round, which is another 80s remake, funnily enough. The single made number one in Scotland, their first Scottish number one.
Shout out to Scotland.
Shout out Scotland. Number six in Ireland. Number 11 on the Hungarian Top 40 radio chart.
Welcome, Hungary.
And number 94 on the Slovakian radio charts. I mean, they really should have gone harder for the girls.
They should have.
One thing I have to say before we leave this single, and I know I haven't been the most enthusiastic about it, but for me, the one super saving grace of Just Can't Get Enough is the B-side, Golden Rules, which I've been obsessed with since it hit the internet. It's, for me, it's like a dark, moody, electropop sister of Girls Aloud's No Good Advice.
Wow.
My parents always told me, girl, be good in school. Please listen to the teachers. Follow all those rules. Don't you break those rules. Don't hang around with bad.
Very sort of modern 80s sounding as well, in a
yes,
way,
yes.
To pair with its A-side.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm so happy it's on streaming finally now.
They bless us with a fifth single off their first album, the fan favourite, giving the gays even more what they want, Work, to coincide with their first headlining tour, the Work Tour. This is a great, sexy, dirty club music video for the gays, you know, warehouse chic. It's what we love in a music video. Oh, to be getting a music video like this for your fifth single of an album? Work, literally.
Literally. Before Britney said work, bitch, the Saturdays just said work.
Work.
That was enough. Honestly, I was so excited about this song. Like, it was...
They didn't just say work, David.
Work.
They said work, work.
I remember the feeling of seeing this music video and going, okay, the Saturdays are ready to compete with the big girls now. You know, they're ready to go up into the league of Pussycat Dolls, Sugar Babes, Girls Aloud. Like, they are ready.
This is your, early 20s night out.
This is the Saturdays' sexiest music video at this point.
From catalogue to sexier catalogue, I don't know. Really, really good, though. And all that is a compliment. Wish I looked as good as a catalogue model.
So, Work made number 22 in the UK, which is the girls' first single to miss the top 20, sadly. But, you know, we can't complain really, Joel, because, like you said, single number 5. Mm. Amazingly, the single made number 2 in Scotland, number 21 in Ireland, number 68 on the European Hot 100. So they were
working. Okay, so following that, the girls embarked on their debut tour, the Work Tour, which was at kind of large theatres across the UK. Hammersmith Apollo was the London date. So I went to this debut tour because friend from school, Pixie Lott, was the support act. Fresh, young, teen pop superstar, number one under her belt with Mama Do, was the support act. Pixie was obviously amazing. And then the Saturdays put on a really great show. I was pleasantly surprised, if I'm honest, because I was loving all these songs by the girls, but I wasn't at the point where I was invested to go to a tour particularly yet. I just left like with a whole new respect for them. And because I'd seen them live at that TV show appearance, where they must have clearly, it was the first TV appearance, they'd just learnt the routine. It was nice to see them so a lot more in sync and together with each other. It was a lot more polished than I was expecting. And for a one album girl band, they put on a great, great show.
For someone who knows you through your fandom as well for S Club Junior / S Club 8, was it interesting and funny for you to see Frankie and Rochelle in this lineup on stage?
My ethos in life is justice for lead vocalist Frankie. I remember at the time being surprised that she didn't have a solo until like the fourth song they sung that night.
Wait, did they do solo performances each?
No, as in just a solo line in a group song.
Ah.
She literally was the lead singer of S Club Juniors, shared lead in S Club Juniors and S Club 8, and then not the lead singer of the Saturdays at all. So I was just like, every time she sung, I was like, justice for Frankie. Like, I loved it.
You were screaming, you were giving her the love.
Yeah. I was literally like, every time, how every time Vicky B opens her mouth on the Return of the Spice Girls tour, the audience is like, ah. That was me at the top of Hammersmith Apollo. Just every time Frankie opens her mouth a bit, ah. I remember the girls doing a Rihanna cover. They did a cover of Shut Up and Drive.
Rihanna and Katie, I feel like, were the kind of templates sonically for the Saturdays, and Gaga a little bit.
It's funny you say that. The cover was part of a medley which went Rihanna Shut Up and Drive, Katy Perry I Kissed a Girl, and then I think Pink So What.
Oh.
So it was nice that, throw in that medley though, because it is only the first album. You got to get some stuff in there. So get it, girls. What a way to end the first album era with the confidence and success to do a tour. Because, Girls Aloud didn't get that. Girls Aloud didn't get their first tour at that level until the second album.
This is true, yeah. Girls Aloud came off the back of a TV show, so they really should have had the confidence, or their team should have had the confidence to do a headline tour after the first album.
Well, they had a tour announced and it got cancelled.
Girls Aloud, first album
era.
Yeah,
the reason why, it was because it was a Popstars The Rivals tour.
Oh, fuck that.
So it was arenas and it was co-headlined with One True Voice. I think Clear was meant to be part of it as well. I think probably the top 10 of boys and girls were all meant to be part of it, but it was definitely Girls Aloud and One True Voice. Got cancelled.
I think in a way it's better that got cancelled. And then Girls Aloud got to do their own thing first.
And do you know what happened?
That's a better look.
The cheek to blame the low ticket sales on the boys.
Isn't it that?
It is that, but that's not graceful. That's not a dignity. So you as a PR, would you blame it? So say, I don't know. So say you did Girls Aloud PR at the time. You'd blame it on the other band?
Yeah, of course, because it wouldn't be Girls Aloud. I'm repping Girls Aloud. They are
industry
selling their
secrets
tickets.
There.
They're selling
industry
their tickets.
Secrets.
What is not filling the other half of the arena is One True Voice. That's the story I'm telling the press.
When we do our first tour, he's going to say, yeah, Joel's. It was Joel's fault. They're all the tickets that were bought were for David Lim. Even though they all said Wendy Babington, they were all for David Lim.
I will spin that shit, I'm telling you.
So, amazing end of the first era for the girls. And let's go straight into lead single of second album, Forever Is Over. David, I'm just going to tell you straight off the back, I was obsessed. When they came back with this, the girls are back with a slightly rockier sound.
This is very you. This is all you. Like, it has Joel Babington written all over it, this single.
I think I had broken up with my first boyfriend by this point as well. So I felt I was just like,
Forever is over.
I think I was just singing it all the time. Like, I was 18. They released it. And then me and Harry saw them at GAY when they were promoting this single.
So you were just of age to get in?
Just of age. And they just released it because I remember watching it on repeat on YouTube because I was like, I want to know the words when they sing it tonight. Got that great spot standing on the stairs,
oh,
you know.
Coveted
standing
spot.
Overlooking.
We always, that is the number one. If you're not running for the stairs when you get in, you're doing something wrong. You've never been to that venue.
And it's, you know, the age of like, we got there really, not really early, but like, quite early when heaven is empty and we just stood at that spot on the stairs. I just remember I loved Forever Is Over in the music video because Frankie had longer hair. And then I was devastated when by that night she'd already cut the hair. She had the short hair back.
I have to say, yeah, I wanted to talk about Frankie's hair length in this music video because it seems so out of character. And am I right that we don't really see Frankie with long hair after this video? Like, it was a one-off fluke.
Not in this episode. I think in, like, Disco Love, she's got longer hair again.
Oh, yeah, that's right, when she was pregnant. Yeah, okay. That was a different time. But, okay, yeah. I mean, I did think it was strange at the time that she had longer hair. And
I loved it.
She looks stunning anyway, regardless.
Oh, yeah. She's one of the most stunning people on the planet. But
gorgeous woman. But that bob is signature Frankie.
Signature Frankie, which is probably why she was like, you know, I want to. She probably feels like her when she's got that. But it was really, I was like, ah, and then I was like, oh, she's cut her hair.
Can we talk about the artwork? Because I remember the first time I saw this single artwork on the internet, I thought it was a Desperate Housewives promo.
Oh, yeah. So this is like nightwear catalogue models by this point, isn't it? It's very glamour.
It's just the dry leaves floating in the air was very...
Well, look, it was released 4th of October 2009. It's an autumnal look, David. they'd probably done the shoot and then they slapped the leaves on in post-production. October the release. What says October? I've got it. Leaves. Brown, dried up, sexy leaves.
Now, this single, Forever Is Over, has quite an interesting story. It was written by James from Busted with some American writers and producers, The Runaways, who have worked with Natasha Bedingfield and Jordan Sparks. Apparently, the single was originally intended for Kelly Clarkson. And I love this Molly King quote that she...
Do Molly's accent.
I don't know how to do Molly's accent. I can't do accents. You know that you're the...
Do posh British. Do posh
no,
British.
No, I can't do it. You're the accents guy on this podcast. Like, many people have left comments saying they love your accent. I'm not about to try. So we heard that song playing while at our record company and went into the office where James was talking to the head of the label. We said, we have to have that song. Then we found out that Kelly Clarkson was fighting for it. But he gave it to us. James is lovely. Was that too Downton Abbey?
It was. I think it needed a little bit more enthusiasm. What I love about Molly King is that A, she seems like a wonderful person, and B, she looks like someone that really is a positive, pleasant to work with, and she looks like no one enjoys and is more thankful to be a pop star than she is. So every time in an interview, it's just so enthused, and you can never discredit someone for that.
I have to say, from all accounts of my media friends I've talked to about the Saturdays, not a single person ever has anything bad to say about Molly. Like, that she's always the media's favourite and the media's darling. And purely for the reasons that you just said, Joel. Like, she's very enthusiastic. She always gives it 100%. And she's polite. And she loves doing press. So she is the dream.
The dream. So, fab single and music video. They're looking gorgeous. And I loved sort of all the acting-y bits they have in the music video. We're like throbbing the phone. There's nothing more. Like, I love a prop. I love a prop. And there's nothing better than having that phone and reacting with it or throwing it in.
Do you know my favourite part of the music video is when Rochelle has the laptop and she's got the word lover in like 0.106 times New Roman. And she deletes the L in lover, so it says over on the laptop screen.
Oh, genius. Genius, whoever thought of that. Shall we talk about the chart stats for Forever Is Over?
So Forever Is Over debuted and peaked at number 2 in the UK, which is absolutely massive for the girls. So it really feels at this point like they're just going higher and higher. And that's another reference.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
I've tried not to set up, so I've said higher and higher. Number 2 in Scotland, number 9 in Ireland, number 8 on the European Hot Singles Charts, which for them at this point has never been higher. So shout out to Forever Is Over. It did what it had to do.
92 in Slovakia.
Oh, was it?
There must have just been a few like hardcore fans in Slovakia that was making it happen for them.
Exactly.
What a way to say we're back with a solid number 2. What's the time gap between Forever Is Over and Work?
Four months.
Between end of first album and beginning of second album, they're not giving us time to breathe, which can sometimes be a negative, but this time is really working in their favour because they're coming back really strong because they've just kept working, you know. They've been on tour.
But they've had a great year, though, to be fair. I would fucking come back straight away as well. I'd be so excited.
We have to say, hats off to the Saturdays. No sloppy mess with members leaving and no lineup changes. All the girls from beginning to end. And for something that is so manufactured and label put together, what I would say about them is that it seems like they did really enjoy working together. And even between breaking up, you know, you see a lot of bands like this break up and never reference each other. It seems like they all really enjoyed working with each other and are still connected in each other's lives, even in downtime, which makes you think a reunion could happen at any time.
For sure. Like, I just wouldn't rule out a reunion, guys. Honestly, it's what the pop world needs, and we're just putting it out there in the universe.
So Forever Is Over is released early October. And then the next week, their second album, Word Shaker, is released.
Now, Joel, this one is a little bit of a lost album, or sort of, it's very mystified, which is the first time in this whole episode that we're seeing something weird and bizarre happening with the Saturdays, because they're such a straight by the books record company girl group. Everything is so well thought of and executed that for a whole album to mysteriously disappear for almost 8 years and a whole campaign almost ditched is, I'm very perplexed and very intrigued by the Word Shaker era. Because first of all, this is the first thing I noticed about it. I don't know about you, but at that time when this cover image went on the internet, I did think, God, it's a different logo. One. Number two, the girls are really far away. This artwork, as gorgeous as it is, they are miles away from where we are looking at the picture. So they look really small on there. And also, they look a bit retro and a little bit matronly. So the styling is a little bit off for me. So something about this whole era when this artwork came out just made me feel a little bit like, okay, what's happening?
pop fans probably dramatise it more than it is. I think realistically and logically, something new was coming, so you remove that from paid downloads because streaming wasn't huge then, and you remove it because you want people to buy the new thing, and that probably just carried on for a lot longer than anyone could even foresee was coming. But we're here at Wordshaker, and let's talk about that. It's an okay album. It's a good album, but considering how strong their debut was, it's a bit of a mixed body of work for me, and in some points it can sound quite Disney American pop rocky, which sounds like something I would love, but it doesn't quite work for me.
I felt like this was the more polished and more next level body of work for them. And the kind of Disney pop rock elements were exactly what I thought you would latch on to. Shall we talk about our favourite album tracks, if you have any?
So there is one standout track on this album. It's a song that I actually thought was a single, if I'm honest, until I started looking back at this episode, and that is One Shot.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they performed it on TV or something at some point, because I thought this was a...
Yeah, One Shot single. Does feel like a very classic Saturdays song.
It is. It's signature pop dance, edgy pop dance Saturdays. Loved it. What about you? Any standout tracks for you?
My favourite tracks were Not Good Enough. I mean, God, what a savage breakup ballad. If there ever was one, it is Not Good Enough. Apparently it was left over from the first album that didn't make the cut, so they put it in this one. Another track I really like is 2AM. 2AM is like a really cute kind of wistful 60s pop melody song. Like, it was just cute. Another one in recent times that I've started listening to the album that kind of stood out for me is Open Up. Open Up sounds like a Katy Perry single.
Well, there you go.
I lost my jacket, had no credit on my phone. I was worried about you here alone. I tried, but babe, I couldn't get.
Debuted at number 9 in the UK, and then the second week fell out of the top 30 completely.
That's mad.
It is mad, isn't it?
It was taken off of digital platforms in 2010, and it wasn't until the heroes of pop music activism, got it back online in 2018 that it appeared back on streaming services. It's sad that it seems like something like this is just something that got lost in paperwork at a big label, you know?
And also, like, you think about how much money they would have spent on a girl group's album. Like, we're talking whole photo shoots that went along with Wordshaker that never got used.
Speaking of which, slightly off topic, it's weird that we don't get to see the booklets digitally on Spotify. You know, the way they give us, like, music video hints and everything when you click on it, you think by now they'd include the booklets digitally.
I would love to see that. They need to work on that, yeah, for sure.
So, as you said, this album peaked at number 9 in the UK, which is incredible, but then also a real shame that it drops out of the top 30 the next week. And in Ireland, it peaked at number 36. Again, it seems like Ireland are not standing behind our girls here. When you think they'd love it up on a plate, it's interesting that we're seeing such a difference, because we're normally somewhat kind of in sync chart-wise, apart from the VC being Ireland's darling and nowhere to be seen over here. It did go silver in the UK, so, you know, that's really impressive in and of itself. We get one more single off this album before they rush through to a new half era. Ego, the second single from the second album. Your head is always, always there to
help you break the fall.
I like this song a lot. And considering I wasn't really committed to Forever Is Over, they're basically giving me like another version of a pop rock song. And I fucking lap up every inch of this. Maybe it's because I've had Forever Is Over to prepare me to get into Ego. Maybe that's what it is.
Do you know what, actually? I've just been rethinking about the chorus in this last 30 seconds, and you're right, it is Signature Saturdays. If this comes on at the club, it's one that you just want to sing along to, and yeah. They, you know, they're giving it here, and
it's Radio Disney, but like in a really cool girl group way.
Disney does sexy superheroes.
We really wanted to plan the word Ego, so me and the girls were like, we'd love to be superheroes. So we kind of asked directors for the best superhero treatment they had, and then we kind of changed a few bits and made it, you know, good for us. And it's going to be amazing. I've been watching the other girls on set, and they just look amazing.
I watched Watchmen today, actually, to try and get some inspiration, and that's amazing. And I think they're good. I think they're becoming a bit of a cool thing as well, whereas comic books and stuff always used to be said to be quite geeky, but not anymore.
So, you loved this song, and even I've just changed my mind in the last 30 seconds. Do you know who was kind of very middle with this song?
Oh god,
it's only your pal Nick Levine again for Digital Spy. He gave this song 3 out of 5 stars and described the chorus as catchy enough.
Is that it? Just
that's it, catchy enough.
It's so dismissive.
It would be interesting to know what Nick's thoughts of it are now, all these years later, if it's still a 3 out of 5, catchy enough,
full stop, you know, with a shrug.
Do you know what, I'd take it. I would be more than happy. This podcast, good enough. Yes, thank you. Give me praise. I love it. Catchy enough, I'll take it. Thank you, Nick. But yeah, it would be really interesting to see what he thinks of it now. So, anything else you want to say about this signature, as you would say, Saturday song?
Well, I think for me personally, it's quite criminal that Ego only made number 9 in the UK. I know it's certified gold, but number 9, come on. You would have thought it was a top 5 hit for the girls, at the very least.
And that is the sign of number 9 is amazing, but still for labels at this point, you can tell that's a sign of, okay, well, we've had a number 2, an album that has done how it's done, and then this single with a huge posh, that's who we need in the video, and this single with a huge push has gone to number 9. Okay, time to move on. That's what it feels. So 9 here in the UK, 8 in Scotland, 10 in Ireland. All sounds really good, but you can also see a thought behind it to a label. Let's move on from Ego to David, How I Feel Right Now. I miss missing you. That's not actually how I feel, because I do miss you. So just realizes the point of the song.
I just miss all the mess that we made when we still had the passion to hate. I miss missing you sometimes. I miss hurting you till you cry. I miss watching you as you try not to end up in tears, begging to get back together.
Ego is released in January 2010 to August 2010.
A summer single, a late summer single.
They're on the beach for the front cover and they're in the beach for the video, but I wouldn't really call it a beach sounding song.
No, fuck no. Controversially, this is my least favourite of any Saturday's singles.
Well, do you know what, David? Joel Babington of Right Back At You podcast has put in his notes, probably not my favourite single, weak lead single. But music video, I've got, are you even a pop girl if you've not sung like an electronic angel with lingering product placement?
What product placements were in this? There was a watch
for too many shots at the beginning. Frankie's singing and then it goes over to Vanessa and Vanessa's looking at her watch and it looks like the way it's placed is so unnatural, and it's lingered on this watch for a far few frames too many. It lingers on it. And then we get Vanessa's line. But it's very girls on the beach. If we were on a summer holiday, we'd try and recreate this music video.
I would not give this song the pleasure of me recreating the music video.
This song will not appear on David Lim's TikTok.
Absolutely not. Forever is over. Ego, so punchy, so current. And I've gone for something really overly auto-tuned and the melody was really weak. I was like, are you trying to tell me you've got a new era coming and this is what you're leading with? I was worried. I was scared.
Well, do you know who thought differently to us, David?
Nick Levine at Digital Spy.
It's only your pal Nick Levine of Digital Spy gave the song a positive review saying, Missing You is a post-breakup song with a modishly rave-tinged production. And after a few spins of the chorus wiggles into your brain like a tapeworm that missed the turning marked on digestive tract. I'm going to read that bit again. And after a few spins of the chorus wiggles into your brain like a tapeworm that missed the turning marked digestive tract. Nick must have been bored at work this day, I tell you. who at Fascination, when Nick got sent the track, also put the money on the table, like, review this positively. Use whatever wording you want. Tapeworms, all of it. Get it out there. What's the novel you've always wanted to write? Put it in this review. Well, do you know what, David? You need to reconcile with Missing You. And I think when this episode comes out, you need to do a TikTok video to this song with a beach green screen background. Because do you know what this song is doing, David? It's missing you having it as a fan. That's me filling up this song like Nick filling up his review. I will just say, this is a really good era for the Saturdays, this EP and the songs. So this is a strange lead single. That's what I'll say.
Joel, do you want to read the chart positions?
You know it. So the chart positions for this song did really well. Do you know what, David? We're probably just two obnoxious gay men that aren't paying attention to anyone else's opinion. Three in the United Kingdom, two in Scotland, six in Ireland, six on the Euro digital song sales. That's new. And the Europe. This is what we enjoy as historians, seeing something new pop up for the first time.
On the Wikipedia page.
That's what I feel like such a fraud when people go, what you guys know is amazing.
When people go, you guys are so well researched. We're like, literally opened up Wikipedia and YouTube.
With a few things thrown in from our mind. And then the European Hot 100 Singles, 12. Really good stats considering how we've just said we felt about this song. And then the song was silver in the UK, 200 units. So they followed up this single in August with an EP unknown of in the pop world at the time for this kind of act. On the 13th of August, they released the EP, Headlines.
I've just grabbed a little insight. We have an album out next week and it's called Headlines. And I just said, she's just said, oh, there's a little split in the camp that might make headlines next week.
Ona's just
been
smooth. She's plugging smooth.
Tell me, so the single is out now and you've got a sort of in-between album. How does it describe coming up?
It's our album. It's our new album.
Right,
it's our third album.
But it's
called... It's eight tracks. It's a little bit smaller than a large album. So yes. Some people say mini album. It's not really. It's actually a lot of.
That was a wonderful insight there. It's smaller than a big album. It's genius.
The reason it came around is because we started recording a full album.
Yeah.
And we found some tracks that we were just like, you know, they're really current and they just sound like, in an uncringe way, you know, 2010. So we just wanted to bring them out as soon as possible.
Yes,
so
that's
the reason for it being a bit smaller.
Okay, so I have to say, much as I want to be like hashtag justice for Wordshaker, this collection of songs, as concise as it is killer.
I was really into this EP at the time. This and A Year Without Rain, the album by Selena Gomez and The Scene, I was really into.
Very good companion pieces, I must say.
Well, it felt so strange that this big pop band was releasing an EP. What is an EP in the main pop world? Very confusing and so funny to look back at it now with those thoughts. When everyone releases an EP now, it's, you know, EPs are kind of more popular than albums in a way. But at the time, a main band releasing an EP on physical CDs was bonkers because you were like, this isn't an album and it isn't a single. What is this?
I think the minimum amount of tracks you need to clear for an album chart is 8 songs. And they have 8 tracks on Headlines.
And there you go.
Well, they basically trimmed the fat from Wordshaker, added a couple of new songs, and repackaged this whole thing. You've got Forever Is Over still in there, which you guys love. They've got Ego in there, and then Missing You, which was a surprise hit, much to my shock. But also, your favourite from Wordshaker, One Shot, is here as a remix as well. So they kind of understood what worked and then carried it over.
That is the most Saturday song of the last album, isn't it? So it makes sense to carry it over.
Very true.
So peaked at number 3 in the UK, 4 in Scotland, rare time that we're seeing Scotland slightly lower than us, 10 in Ireland, 10 on the European top 100 albums. So roaring success, gold in the UK. So apart from the singles of this and songs brought on for the last album, a standout for me is Puppet. I think that is a banging, really solid.
That is like my favourite, one of my favourite Saturdays album tracks. Puppet on a string, on a string, yeah. Sing, got me dancing things, got me dancing things. I'll make you do, 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 imagine would be like the singles I would have if I was a pop star. I make a little playlist, as you do. I know you do.
We should talk about our DL1 and 2 and JB.
Yeah, our album 1 and our album 2. So Puppet is one of the songs that I wish I would have had if I was a pop star.
Mm.
Along with the Saturday's other B-side from another era, Not That Kind of Girl.
I was going to say earlier as well, Forever Is Over would very much be on JB2.
Your second album?
Yeah.
Not first?
No, because remember, JB1 is in the year 2002. It's very pop. It's lead single for you, all booked up. And then I move pop rock for 2004.
You've grown up a bit more, got a bit more edge.
And then I quickly rush release JB3, which is very sexy, sophisticated electro pop, very come and get.
Very Holly Valance state of mind.
Even in our like fantasies, they're still like, well, that was not as well received, so you need to rush another album out.
We are nothing if not realistic about our own pop careers. So hang on, which of us are going to fight to release Puppet as our single? You and
I said it first, darling. So.
No, honey, I had it down for you. And
I think I've got more production. Well, okay, do you know what, David? No. Let me finish. I've got more ideas for the production number on tour for it. So I tell you what, you can release it and then I'll do a cover on it to one of my favourite other current artists at the time on tour and do a number of Puppet with everything under the sun thrown at it. And then I'll release it like that guy that did the Robin cover and got huge success with it.
So you want me to go first so you can upstage me by covering this song? Wow. Okay.
Mm. Well, you just fought for it so you can get it. And then... Look, music-wise, I've pushed you down the stairs, darling. You're going to have to deal with it, all right?
I can't believe we're fighting over a Saturday's track 7.
But anyway, really, that's my standout of the tracks. Are there anything else that you...
No, that was it, yeah.
We're going to end off this era and this episode with Higher, a signature Saturday's track.
Single version of Higher featuring Flo Rida. This is so super radio ready. This is the Saturdays literally jumping out of the world and saying, we are here. Like, playlist us in Asia, playlist us in Australia, playlist us in America. Mm. We are ready for global domination. And that's what I love about this single.
And this is around the time that they're like starting to launch in America, isn't it?
Yeah, I was very surprised at how much budget they were given. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised because they're successful, but I guess...
Well, look, even our most successful UK girls don't get a US launch. That's why you're surprised.
This video was filmed in LA at Fox Studios. The backdrop looks like New York, but it's actually in LA.
Yeah, it looks like a sitcom set. That says big budget music video.
We're not actually in New York. If you turn around, you'll see we're actually at Fox Studios, which is so cool. Britney's been here. And that's all that matters, really. Britney's been in here. Now we're here. This is the taxi. This is the school bus. I feel a little bit like Carrie Bradshaw.
I mean, coming from their first music video that we talked about at the start of this episode, being a faux Topshop window front, to now at Fox Studios, the girls are doing it. This is amazing.
They've lifted it higher. Now, we must say, Flo Rida beat the girls in one of the previous songs to number one, didn't he?
Mm.
So what do? They slap Flo Rida onto this song in one of the most unnecessary needed features of all time. But why not? It gives it more exposure and it justifies a re-release of the Headlines EP. If they're going to release in the US and more places around the world that they haven't before, it makes a lot of sense to slap on someone like Flo Rida. So get it. It's really interesting that this wasn't the first single.
Or maybe they knew that they could get a really big feature on it and they were just buying a little bit more time and then boom.
Mm.
What I love about Higher is that how much appreciated it is with like pop music lovers. It won the Pop Justice 20 quid music prize of that year.
Which is amazing.
It's, you know, not everybody has that.
No. I would kill for that.
The Saturdays beat Adele. They beat Jessie J.
Yeah, rightly so.
Higher did that. So you gotta like give a hats off to Higher and the Saturdays for doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, this is such an exciting point and we're so happy to like wrap up our episode at this point because it feels like things are going up and into bigger things for the Saturdays. Mm. And it's all love and it's all positive. And it's always going to be love and positive anyway because this is right back at you and we just adore all the acts that we cover. Like, it's always love. But it's just exciting to put yourself back into kind of 2009, 2010 eyes and heads because you're like, wow, the Saturdays are really doing it at this time.
Yeah.
So it's just exciting to talk about that.
And at this point where we've left it, the only ones, as far as I'm aware, doing it in terms of girl bands and in this success, in this league. And as you just said, what a note to end it on. So much fun. There's a lot of great stuff to come from the Saturdays. So hopefully you guys enjoy this enough so we can break our own rules and do a 2010s episode. Must just say as well, absolutely thank you to everyone on social media that's been sharing their love for the Saturdays because it's been such a joy for me to relive this era and like everyone else, just so ready to celebrate them and enjoy their music. And I love that they're having, it still feels so recent to me, is having modern nostalgia. In the way of like, I don't know if you agree, David, but it feels like at the moment on social media, Atomic Kitten are being a bit of a golden opus at the moment. It feels like the Saturdays are the next generation that.
Yeah, it's Atomic Kitten, it's the Saturdays, it's Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Mm.
She is really having a resurgence right now in our hearts and minds. And this is someone like me. I love Sophie. I listen to Sophie all the time. So I'm just happy that everyone's on my wavelength, on our wavelength now, appreciating our girls.
What an amazing note to end on. And these girls, they're just such a breath of fresh air.
You know what? Like, we love a girl group, you and I personally. Like, I'm always stanning a girl group. So I've wanted to do the Saturdays for a minute now. And I'm really glad that we used this opportunity to just reminisce and, you know, with their back catalogue being on streaming and everything now, like it just feels like a good time to revisit their body of work and just tap into that nostalgia and that good feeling that we had back in the day. So also, I just want to say, like, thank you guys so much for sharing our stuff.
Yeah.
And for commenting, and I see all the DMs and...
Yeah, it just seems more than ever we're getting even more and more interaction with you. And that is the whole point of us doing this. So we, A, absolutely love that. But B, thank you so much for listening and getting in touch with us. Speaking of which, what's been your favourite Saturday single of this era? What's been your favourite album track of this era? Have you disagreed with us on anything? Let us know, because we want to know, and we hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, give us that 5-star review on whatever platform you are, and hopefully we'll be reading it out on an episode soon. As you know, you can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. I'm at @Dr_JoelB on all social platforms, and he is...
at @LoveLimmy. Now on TikTok, apparently.
At @LoveLimmy, even on TikTok. I'm at @Dr_JoelB on TikTok. No content there yet, but who knows? By the time this episode's out, we'll see. And look, email our hearts whenever you want. We are rightbackpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much, guys. David, anything else before we go?
No. And I just want to say I miss you, Joel.
I miss you, David.
So much. And I've been going through my camera roll with all those videos of our nights out from the last year and so, and I miss you so much. So
I love you. Send me any of those good ones. maybe we should dub one to like Missing You or something, just because it's our least loved song. Yeah, just stay safe in this situation, guys, and keep on listening. We're here for pop fun. That's what we do, and we hope we're giving that to you. Cue the Saturday's remix here. Bye.
Bye.